now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, it's been 3 weeks. How you doing?
Yeah, it's been a minute. I'm doing good, if it wasn't for the Rays doing that horrible thing that they do where they get your hopes up for just a minute and then dash them completely. Other than that, I'm doing good. The UK did a thing where all our phones got an emergency alert as like a test. Do you guys do that?
We have these things called Amber Alerts, where if somebody's getting if someone's been kidnapped or there's some crime thing happening nearby, they send you an Amber Alert to your phone. That happens in a radius. And we also get weather warnings, kind of same thing.
We just got every phone in the UK got this really distressing alarm go off at 3 p.m. There was emergency. And then it was lol, not really, just testing. Yeah. So the UK was in a state of panic for 2 minutes. But other than that, things are going okay. Things are going okay. Should I ask you how you're doing? Because I know it's been a rough weekend.
It's been a terrible weekend for me. I'm a Gators fan, if you haven't picked up on it on the show. And so I've had maybe the worst weekend. I was trying to think over the, I was trying to think, has there been a worse weekend since? I'm also a Patriots fan, so there's a worse weekend. They're losing, by the way, right now, which is not helping. Is this the worst weekend since we lost to the Giants again? It might be. It might be. Especially because the Rays went and got our hopes up, like you said, by sweeping the Mariners, and then proceed to forget how to play baseball against the Guardians, which they've basically not been able to play baseball against the Guardians all season. And the Gators offensive coordinator is also their head coach, and neither one are doing their job very well. So that's been our weekend. Anybody out there, are you having a good weekend? If somebody's having a good weekend, could you drop it in the comments and let us know? We'd really appreciate some positivity here, and we'd appreciate that you guys are here despite how negative and how bad this weekend has been. We appreciate that you're all here, because we're going to talk about it regardless of how bad it may be going. We're still going to talk Rays. We're still going to talk about what the future may hold, what this next week is going to look like. We are going to analyze the games that we're going to talk about the future. We're going to talk about the guys that are no longer here and the guys that got brought up from Durham this week, as we always do. And we are so grateful that all of you are here. If you want to show us that you're enjoying the show, if you are enjoying the show, do us a huge favor and drop us a like. If it's your first time here, thank you for joining us. Stick around, and we hope you enjoy. But we're going to kind of jump right into it, and we're going to start with the positive. Because as much as this weekend has been bad, this week started really, really strong, coming off of a series sweep, going into a series that was maybe the most important series this season so far, is how it felt, against the Seattle Mariners, and started off about as strong as you can with a 10-2 victory over the Mariners to begin the week. And, at this point, we were definitely feeling the momentum.
Yeah. At that point, we were on a W4. Bars turned in maybe his best start of the season. If you consider the context, it almost definitely was his best start of the season. Six shutout innings. The offense really showed up. Loads of things to like in that game. Mm-hmm. But that took us to a W4. And that's when we started to raise our eyebrows a little bit. And then that was followed. Is there anything in particular you want to say about that game other than
not really? It was nice to see. Offense was good. It was nice to see Yandy getting involved in the offense. Junior has been great, all season. And he had a game where he was able to provide a lot of value without hitting a home run, which, just goes to show all the people that are saying that he's somehow a fake power guy or something. That's been the narrative on social media. He can provide value without hitting the ball over the fence with his bat. So that was, I liked that about this game, in addition to just, like you said, Shane Boz coming out and doing what we've been asking him to all season, which is just go out there and get six and don't allow a bunch of runs.
Right, exactly. And against Luis Castillo, who is a good pitcher as well, The Mariners, all see, me and Carter were talking about it last week as we kind of previewed the week ahead. We said this Seattle series was, in theory, going to be really tough because the Mariners were throwing their best at us in Kirby, Castillo, and Wu. And every time the offense kind of came through in all three of those games, they showed up against some really, really tough pitchers, which made me gain a lot of confidence in this team.
Yeah. And that confidence kind of moved forward into the next game where, again, had the, you know, had a pitcher that if you'd asked the Mariners who you want out there, they would have probably said Wu. And, like, only gets through five, gives up three runs, gives up a home run. Getting that kind of, you know, offensive performance against a guy like him, it's a big deal, especially when the Rays have, you know, the offense has been a little bit anemic at times this year. So to get back-to-back really good offensive performances in a series is something that, you know, really exciting.
Yeah, and that was a tight game as well. That was one they had to battle for. You know, it was back and forth. And Gabe Spear has been really good, a really underrated reliever for the Mariners. I think he's a really, really good pitcher. And he had a really good month of August as well, in particular. So to get the kind of go-ahead runs off him, Caminero, getting the double there, really, really impressive. I mean, the win probability graph for that game is a fun one.
Yeah.
Really gritty win there for the Rays. Will you – I guess we'll talk about this more as we go to the Cleveland series, but, like, Griffin Jacks, I can't tell what to make of him because in the ninth, he was trusted with the ninth in that game and he had to cede to Clevinger. And then in the opener, when he was opening in the Cleveland series, he was a bit rocky there as well. What do you think the plan is with Griffin Jacks? Do you trust him in high leverage situations anymore?
I would say right now he's a guy that I would really, really like to see out there in like the seventh inning because honestly, you know, we have Clevinger and Fairbanks to finish the games. So you don't need to put Jacks in that scenario. And right now I feel like this is why in general, I don't like trading for relievers. And if we were trading for, if Jacks was a rental, I would have been much less positive about the move to bring him in than I am. Mm-hmm. But he's not a rental. He's going to be in the organization for at least 3 years. And that, to me, was what made it a good move because I think that even if he struggles a little bit this year, he will find his groove next year with the team, being a full offseason with the team, getting to run it up that whole time with the catchers, with Kyle Snyder. I think that it tends to be a struggle for pitchers coming over to any new organization, especially relievers, because it's such a like a pressure chamber and such a unique role, you know, in sports, really. You know, I mean, a reliever is like it's weirdly a smaller and also bigger role than almost any like specialized role in sports. It's a very unique role. So to bring that to a new team mid-season, probably when I don't think he expected to get traded. So kind of a surprise for him. And that's why I'm not really killing him. He did get out of it to begin the Cleveland game. So, you know, it's not ideal, but I think it's fair to say that for this season, I would say he probably needs to be pitching in the sixth or the seventh and not the eighth or the ninth. But I also, you know, Cash is the kind of guy where he's going to trust his guys. As a manager, he's shown that kind of his entire career. He's not going to hide guys really. He doesn't really do that. He's going to put you back out there and let you succeed or fail because he's going to place that belief in you and allow you to prove him wrong. And so I'm okay with him. I don't think we need to banish him or anything. I don't think we need to cut him or anything. I think he has a lot of value. I think he'll be really good next year. But the struggles this year are what they are. And if he needs to pitch in the sixth or the seventh, I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think he is a next year and beyond type thing. I mean, is there a world where they convert him to a starter? I heard rumblings about that.
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, it's something, you know, Rasmussen, who started the game, this is something they've done a couple of times. be interesting to see what the, you know, and again, like with sort of, I don't know if you would call it uncertain, but definitely unclear plan for the starting rotation going into 2026 with Shane not being able to make it back at all this season. It'll be interesting to see if they try to, maybe not a traditional starter, but maybe if they try to do a 3-4 type situation. I could see that.
Yeah, one time through the order type guy. Exactly. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
And then the final game of this series wasn't a nail biter, really, because the Rays offense absolutely exploded on George Kirby, blitzed him, scoring 4 in the first, 4 in the second. Caminero, a big part of that. Again, Junior has just been on a tear lately. And Hauser was really good through the first 5. And I was like, hey, look at Hauser finally getting it together. And then he had a rocky sixth inning. But he then came out and did a clean 7th. So, I mean, there's signs of
life. And by the way, there are. And by the way, that bomb by Julio, 98.6 off the bat, 334 distance, 39-degree launch angle. Only a home run at Steinbrenner. And probably run at Steinbrenner with that specific wind pattern. So I'm really not gonna kill him. I actually really like the start from Hauser. I also liked how quickly we got under Kirby's skin and how he resorted to hitting Josh Lowe. Because he's something I can't say on the air. I probably should say on the air. Rays unfazed. I never understood hitting somebody when you're frustrated. It just seems kind of stupid.
Childish.
And I've doubly never understood hitting somebody on the other team back, because that only benefits them. It doesn't give you anything other than like, oh, yeah, we're going to hurt your guy. It's stupid. So I'm glad the Rays didn't go that route and won the game 9-4.
Comfy win. Something I don't get to say very often these days. And then... So at that point, we were on a W6. We had turned at the start of the series, we were 5.5 games back of the wild card. We were then 2.5 games back of the wild card in short notice, real short notice. How were you feeling after that sweep of the Mariners, Zach?
As good as I've ever felt since May and June. I haven't felt this good since then. Team was going in the right direction. We had had a rough series against Cleveland to begin, earlier in the season, we had a rough series against Cleveland. So there was some nervousness there because we had a rough series, but I thought we would be able to figure it out and continue that forward momentum. I was feeling like we are completely back, 2 games back of the wild card at that time, or it was 3 games back, I think, of the wild card at that time. It was two and a half, yes.
Felt incredible. I was like, we're going to do it. We're going to sneak into the playoffs. Absolutely. I genuinely thought that. Because I was like, right, I said to Carter last week that if the Rays can go 5-2 on this 7-game homestand, I'll consider the Rays back in it. And at that point, I was like, oh, they just need to split the series with the Guardians at home to be 5-2, and I'll be and there's a good chance, because we were playing so well, that I was like, maybe we win this series. I didn't expect us to 4-game sweep them, but I was like, maybe we win this series. And we were chatting on Discord saying, hey, there's a chance we could go on the pod on a W10 here.
We did. We said it. Yeah. We said.
Why did we open our big mouths, Zach?
Well, and it did, and I will say we were not helped by the start to this series, which was a 4-2 win off of a nice Ryan Pepiot start. They kind of continued a strategy they've been starting to they really started to unveil it in this game and have been continuing it, which is, seems like for the rest of the season, it's going to be five and dive for guys like Pepiot, Rasmussen, and Shane, unless they're really, really ahead in their pitch count, and then allow the bullpen, which, by the way, has pitched the second fewest innings in major leagues this season, which is a huge anomaly, by the way. I went back and looked it up. The last time the Rays were out of the top 10 in innings pitched by the bullpen was 2017. They've been in the top 10 every year since 2017.
In 2017, we were loaded with guys like Chris Archer. It was
Jake Odorizzi. It was Chris Archer. Yeah. It was those guys. There was a lot of longer guys. And now, you know, we've gotten – I don't know that it was necessarily – maybe it was intentional, maybe not. My personal theory is that there was an idea to front load the beginning of the season with a lot of starting pitching use and save the bullpen for the back half of the season to then allow for, number one, you to take the pressure off the starters as they get to their innings, you know, kind of their innings maximums at the end of the year, and really lean on that bullpen, which at that point had been rested, and then to also have a good, strong bullpen to go into the playoffs, which again, if you had, you know, if what happened in the next three games after the first game of this series, you know, didn't happen and it went a little bit better, it would have looked really, really good. Like, hey, look, listen, our bullpen's the least taxed bullpen in Major League Baseball. And we're gonna try to go on a run of the playoffs. And our starters do have a lot of talent. And if you can go to Ryan Pepiot or Shane Boz and say, I need five innings, one run or less. Give me everything you've got for those five innings. I think those are guys that can do that. So it seems like a good idea. And I like the strategy there. It just didn't really work out that way in the next three games.
No, it did not. It did not. So Ian Seymour coming in, who'd pitched very well. We were talking about how good he was last week. Has he pitched it behind an opener before for bulk innings?
He has pitched bulk innings not behind a tradition, not like behind the opener as we've come to know it. Either was long relief after a rough start. Or starting, he hadn't done this iteration yet.
Yeah. So Griffin Jacks comes in, has a rocky but otherwise harmless opening inning, and then Ian Seymour comes in and immediately blows up.
Yeah.
The Guardians do the Guardian thing of just like single, hit. Mm-hmm. And the game was kind of out of sight from that point. I was fine with this for the record. I was like, okay, we were bound to lose a game at some point. At least it wasn't one that I felt like was in the 60 that you could have won. Like, you know, the 60 definite win. This was in the 60 definite losses kind of category. Where you go, okay. Yeah. Right. Draw a line through that one. We got to go win the next two. Fine.
Win streak has to end sometime. That kind of thing.
Yeah. I was like, okay, if we're going to win, like, fine. But then the next two games happen, and that's where I got cross.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you talk about two games, which, I mean, I almost feel like you could talk about it as if they were the same game because they felt about the same, where you lose by one run in both. The staff as a whole gave up five runs over the two games, which
– 2.5 runs a game.
If you can't score three runs in a game, then that's on the offense. Like at that point, it is the offense's fault you didn't win that game.
Yeah, agree. And that the third game in the series was frustrating.
Yeah,
I woke up in the middle of the night and noticed it was 2-2 in the ninth at the start of the ninth inning. So I was like, you know what? I'll just flick it on my phone and I'll watch the ninth inning. And I watched Pete Fairbanks really blow it. and it's the walks, man.
Yeah.
You can't be walking people in those kind of situations. I would rather you threw a fastball right down the middle and challenge him. It worked for the Guardians today. Cade Smith got back-to-back strikeouts today by throwing a fastball, which he, you know, 98. Pete Fairbanks can throw 98. Just throw it down the middle. Make him hit it. We couldn't. Yeah. I think we've got a better offense than the Guardians. And that walk allowed it to get to a point where, oh, no, Stephen Kwan just needs to make contact. Great. Like, what are we doing? Why are we right, I don't like going after managers and manager decisions. But when it's like, oh, as long as the guy needs to make contact and the hitter is Stephen Kwan, the best contact hitter apart from maybe Luis Arraez in the business at like getting a ball in play, because that's all he needed to do.
Yeah.
Just walk him. You had a base open.
And again, if you walk him, the guy who was scheduled to bat was George Valera, who has an OPS of 664 on the year.
Right. Right. And you open it up to then a force at any base.
I will say the Brian, I guess they say Brian Rocchio, his at bat, that the last pitch of that at bat was a strike, and it was a strike amount throw amount. And by the way, I did not feel like Fortes did a bad job of presenting that pitch while also throwing him out. I felt like he presented it where it was, which was right on the corner where like it's a perfect pitch. It caught plenty of plate, in my opinion. It was definitely within the zone and throws out and makes a great throw to second. Should have been a double play, nobody out. And then, you know, just Bolander's like a bunt at that point. But I mean, I still think you get out of that inning. And so, it was unfortunate that that call wasn't made. And then it was doubly unfortunate that Pete was just not. And again, you got to two outs. And I think that's, again, kind of the frustrating part, right, is you get to two outs there. And all you need is a grounder or a strikeout or a flyout to get out of it. And in that moment, like we say, instead of putting Kwan – maybe if you are in a scenario where you need someone, like you were saying, you need someone to get bat to ball, and you were just ranking guys, like, who do I want up in that point? Stephen Kwan is on that list of guys near the top.
Right. And it's him and Luis Arraez are the one too. Right. If like, you just need a ball in play.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't have to be well hit, but just a ball in play. Those just are the guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was incredibly frustrating. And I think the thing, and this is something that I think also came into play today, in the bottom half of the ninth, you have the right guys up. And to me, that was frustrating. That happened, you know, multiple times in today's game as well, where like it felt like in moments where, you know, you needed your key bats up, they were up and they didn't do anything in the third game against Cleveland. It was Brandon Jr. and Josh Lowe in the bottom of the ninth. Fly out, strike out, strike out. That's frustrating as a fan to watch that.
Today, left-handed hit pitcher on the mound,
mm-hmm.
had his complete way with the lineup again, apart from that home run by Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the thing that made me want to tear my hair out was guys with the platoon advantage who knew a fastball were coming struck out on a fastball down the middle twice in a row. Like, if it was like a well-positioned pitch, I'd be like, okay, you got beat. But you, like, this was a guy going, I'm going to throw my fastball at you, and you know it's coming, and I'm going to throw it right down the middle. Can you hit it? The answer is no.
Yeah.
With your season on the line. With your season on the line, may I add. Can you hit my fastball down the middle? And the answer is no. And for me, I'm going to say it. I'm done with the 2025 Rays. I think that is the season over.
Wow. That's the nail in the coffin. What about this game? Like, we talked about how it's frustrating, but what about in this game? Are you just done after this game?
Okay, so it's not just this game that was the nail. Like, it was the three games.
It was the three games.
But if we won this game, I would have continued. I would say we're still alive, because we still would have been three games out. Now we're four games out with 19 games to go. I said to one of my friends before this game, I was like, to realistically make the playoffs, I think we've got to go 15-5 through the last 20.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's happening when a guy that you know is going to throw the fastball throws the fastball down the middle. Like, you know it's coming. And it's not an outlier fastball. And you can't hit it with your season on the line. You score three runs in your two most important games of the year. Offense isn't good enough to get us there. Okay, so let me put it this way. If we bring it round, the way to bring it round is we've got to go 5-1 or 6-0 against the White Sox and Cubs. Now, the White Sox are not very good. So, okay, you'd have to sweep the White Sox, because do you think there's any way we're sweeping the Cubs?
In Wrigley? Where are the Cubs? I'm just curious. The only way that I like, and I don't know what the I don't know what the standings are right now for them. My only thought is, are they, because it's like for them, I don't know, like they're seven games back of the Brewers. I can't.
Yeah, but they're 81-61, which is the top wild card, and they are 44-27 at home.
They are. Now they are. Here's what I'm trying to find out. Okay,
which
so they are in a playoff spot by like a lot. They're in a playoff spot by like 10 games basically. So my only thought is for them, and again, it'll be three games deeper by the time we get there. So they will be like within striking distance of clinching a playoff spot. So my only thought might be I would have to see the pitching matchup that we get for that game. But my only thought might be maybe they're not going to like leave their starters out there for a long time. They're not going to pitch their A guys every day because they don't need to at this point in the season. They have no, they're not like, it, like if they're ranking games on priority for them to win out of conference or out of league, out of division games are like, I don't care if I win that game or not. It's not relevant to me. Because they're focusing on wild card games. And I mean, like, they're still going to try to win. But, like, I don't think we're going to sweep them, but I do think we could win the series. And so I do think we could go 5-1 on that road trip. It is possible. The thing that's going to be hard is you don't get a day off going into seven games at home versus your division rival, Blue Jays and Red Sox. It's just going to be really hard.
Yeah. And I don't think the team, I was like, against the Mariners, I was like, okay, the team has what it takes. They got that dog in them. And then they were like, okay, just keep this going. Don't, like, as long as you split the series, that's fine. And they didn't even split the series against a team on their level.
Yeah. Well, and the copium that I'm going to be drinking for now, at least, is that the Guardians just have our number. Like, they just own us. Like we,
but
like,
the problem just, is we're running out of
I know
real estate. We're running out of runway here. We don't have time for teams having our number.
No, we don't.
Because the Red Sox have had our number, and like the Orioles always seem to get stuff against us these days. So it's just like, I don't know if we have time for that anymore.
Yeah,
I want to be wrong, I really do. But we're gonna have to play out of our mind for the final 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I don't think this team tees this extra gear. They don't have it. Mm-hmm. They've not had it since 2023.
You mean like consistently?
Yeah. Like it's no good going on a W7 if you then drop your next three. If we lost one game and then won the next two, that would have been fine. But because we lost three in a row, I'm like, well, you've undone the work.
Yeah, I mean, and the only thing, like, again, the things you can hope for, like, if it's going to be hard for me to give up completely. But if you are still trying to find areas in which to believe, the Mariners and the Guardians do still have to play each other a couple of times for the rest of the, you know, during the season. So there's some chance for those teams to beat up on each other a little bit. I think what hurts us, at least, is, you know, we played the Blue Jays and the Red Sox to kind of finish this season out. The Red Sox are three games up on the Mariners. So at this point, we have to root for either the Mariners collapse or a Red Sox collapse. And we, unfortunately, we did what we could against the Mariners, but like you said, we undid it against the Guardians, and we only have three games versus the Red Sox, and that's not enough to bridge the gap. They are going to have to lose some games elsewhere to get to that point.
We like to joke about the Aaron Boone quote that it's right in front of us. Yeah. It is no longer right.
It's no longer in front of us. It's no longer in front of us.
We have to win, and we also have to get some luck.
Yeah. Which, I mean, listen, somebody has to win and lose every baseball game. So it's not impossible, but it's just very unlikely. And that's why I understand where you are. And if you're out there right now, and you're thinking similar things to what we're thinking, we want to hear from you guys. And we want to know if you think that this team can go on a run. It's going to be improbable. It's going to be a great story for sure if we can pull off a turnaround. But I mean, you know, when we come back next Sunday, finishing up that Cubs series, the season could be over. Like, could be almost mathematically over by that point. Or, you know, we could still be, you know, kicking the ball around, talking about who's starting for the Blue Jays and where we could get some wins. And that's kind of where we are right now. It's not where we imagined or we hoped. I certainly not where I hoped this team would be to begin this season. But it's where we are. And when you find yourself in somewhere where you'd rather not be, and you're trying to figure out a way out, one thing you're always going to need is confidence. And one way to always have confidence is to be confident in what you're wearing. And if you want to be confident every single time you step out of your home, going into whatever, you know, uncertain areas are going to be in your life, you can go to shop.rblrsports.com and find the best merchandise inspired by your favorite Tampa sports teams. Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, and Sun are all on there. Shop.rblrsports.com. Use promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, for 10% off your order there. Shop.rblrsports.com.
Yeah, and while you're there, excellent transition, can I just say, by the way. A+. But
I do my best.
Also, while you're there, while you're on rblrsports.com, you should check out the Rays Roundtable. It's my favorite thing to read every single week. And we get a whole load of writers kind of contributing bite-sized articles. So you get like three or four kind of bite-sized articles about the Rays. Mm-hmm. You get major league and minor league content. It's great. I mean, you contributed, Carter contributed last week. Mm-hmm. And there's some really great stuff on there. And I couldn't recommend it enough. So with the kind of week that was and the kind of playoff chances that we've talked about, I guess we should have a quick kind of like state of the Rays address. Because I think this is, you know, the 2023 team was really, really good.
Yes.
Since then, they have been mediocre. Mm-hmm. I guess is the best way to put it, around 500-ish. And we're kind of coming to the end of the Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau era. I know we've been saying that the past like three times they could have been traded.
Yeah. But like, they're only, even if we both exercise their options, they're only here for one more year under contract
at the moment. I think it's fairly safe to assume that we're either now past their prime or at the end of their prime.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So the core that made the team really good in the early 2020s. Isn't it crazy that we're not in the early 2020s anymore?
We're in the mid-20s now.
Yeah. So the core that made the team so good in the early 2020s of Yandy, Lau, Randy, those kind of guys, we're kind of past that. And I don't think we've quite got a full core to succeed it. I think we've got Junior, and we got Carson. And Carson was
maybe Chandler.
We're not, maybe Chandler. Maybe it depends if he can improve his fielding.
Yeah.
And Carson again, we got it like he's not like fully arrived yet. He like Junior, I'm like, okay, he's arrived. He's the star. Carson is gonna take a little bit longer, and that's not a knock on Carson, it's just like
just reality.
He's just got here. And he was always scouted as a hitter that's going to be a bit streaky, where he's got the power, but like he's not necessarily like a contact-oriented hitter. He's kind of like a Brandon, like the ceiling is he's Brandon Lau, but it's a good fielder at shot. And even Brandon Lau at his best will go through some unbearable streaks.
Yeah, I mean, I've been making the comp for a long time now. It's Willy Adames, right? Where, and probably a little bit better defender, because Willy would sometimes mess up the routine. That was a kind of the our knock on him, was that he would make the awesome play, but then he would skip a ball that was hit right to him. And, you know, like, but I think Carson probably doesn't skip that ball. The challenge for him will be to have the offensive performances that Willy was able to put together and has been in his career since leaving the Rays.
Yeah, and if Carson can hit at the drop, that gives him a big head start, I suppose.
It does.
But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe they change how the drop is when it's rebuilt as well to make it easier to see.
If they don't fix that now, then there's a documentary in there somewhere. Like, what's
going on? So we got those two. You could argue Aranda.
He got hurt, but there was no reason to believe he was going to slow down.
Yeah. After that, those are your three. Are those three, like those three to me, and I guess we've proved it this year, those three alone are not going to win you a division. We need the supplementary pieces. And right now I think we are lacking in supplementary pieces. Me and Carter talked about it last week, saying all of our outfielders are good at something and then really bad at something else.
Yeah.
And that's not really what you want for a division winning outfield. So like Mangum, great at making contact, has no power.
Yeah.
Good fielder, good speed. Chandler, elite speed, no power, inconsistent ability to get on base. Bad fielder.
I would challenge that a little bit. I think he's pretty good at getting on base. He's batting up there. He's shown the ability to bat around 300. I think he can get on base an okay amount.
Okay.
But he has struggled with the fielding. I agree, he struggles with the fielding. Yeah.
DeLuca, really good fielder, yet to show that he's a good hitter.
Correct.
Pereira, serviceable fielder, good power, bad contact.
Bad contact.
Morale, not as bad a fielder as we made out to be.
No, not quite as bad as made it out to be.
Not great though. And has power, inconsistent contact.
Although I will, and this is where, you know, this is where I think we can really get into it, because I think what you're getting at is that, and correct if I'm wrong, the infield is okay. It's pretty good, because you could say third, short, and first, and then you got like Braden Taylor in the minors, and even on the team right now, Richie Palacios. There's some guys that could play second base confidently. So like the infield is fine. The outfield is where, you know, a lot we have questions and we don't have answers right now. And Morel was supposed to be an answer. It's kind of what I wrote about in my article the round table, was that he was brought in, you know, and we moved Isak out specifically to kind of be that, yes, bring some power. And you know, when you look at his 2023 with the Cubs, you know, that's what they were hoping he could bring over and replicate here. He hasn't been able to do that. And you know, whether that is because of his inability to get, you know, or his, you know, just not gotten consistent playing time. And, you know, whether you want to say that's the chicken or the egg thing, we're like, well, he was bad, so we didn't play him, or because he, you know, he wasn't getting played, so he was bad, you know, whatever. The result is that he was not been able to put up anywhere near the numbers that he was expected to. And and again, the real culprit here that I think is really hurting this team right now, and I really hate to say it because he seems like a really nice guy and he's shown flashes of being great, it's Josh Lowe, man. He was supposed to be the guy in right field, and we were supposed to not have to worry about it. And he was going to be a lefty, 2020 knock on the door 30-30 guy. And whether it's been injuries or just a slow return, he just has not been able to be that. And so now I think kind of where you're heading is now when you look to the future, when you look towards next season, as Stanley has an opinion too, when you look towards the next season, what's the solution there? Because there's the minor leagues. Chandler was the kind of the best minor league outfielder, and Pereira's in that same boat of like, that's kind of it right now. At least it's ready right now to be up at the major league level.
Yeah, right. Like there's Aiden Smith, who we got in the Randy trade, but he's a while he's a while off.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, yeah, we're not swimming in outfield prospects right now. You could give Cameron Meisner another shot, I suppose. Like,
if he's just worse, if Josh Lowe is what he really showed at the end of the day, was that he's just Josh Lowe, but instead of Josh Lowe having a really good season and then looking not so great, Meisner had a really good like month and a half and looked not so great.
Yeah, but then Josh Lowe, I suppose, had a bad first season, right, in the bigs.
Sure.
Like his 2022 wasn't great, but then his 2023 was really good. So you never know. Maybe Meisner, because he is just Josh Lowe. Like, it's so weird how similar they are. Maybe next year he has a big breakout year and then gets injured the next 2 years and fails to get off the starting block because they have the exact same career. But yeah, basically we need an outfielder, and Kyle Tucker's the only real one that is like a whoa needle mover on the free agent market. The problem is when there's only one good guy at a position that's a real needle mover, it's going to be hard to get the bids in there. That's the one thing. So the Rays might have to get creative via trade.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, again, like you'd have to think that unless he just like loves the idea of coming to Tampa, you'd almost have to be the highest bidder, which would, it would be a first. And again, we have the it's kind of the big question mark hanging over this offseason is, what is the new ownership group going to do? Because if the new ownership group comes in and says, extend Junior and throw $50 million at whoever you want this offseason, okay, all right, well, now we're in business. But if they say, yeah, I think what you guys were doing before was good, just keep doing that, then
yeah.
And again, when we talk about trading, like the good news is that while the – you know, while the outfield isn't awesome for the Rays minor league systems, they kind of are really good at everywhere else in the minors. The infield, we've got some good prospects, got some good pitching prospects as always. So you could maybe put something together to go get an outfielder. I don't know. It's tough because you'd like to think that, you know, power hitting corner outfielders with a little bit of consistency shouldn't be the hardest thing in the world to acquire. But like, the last two guys that we had that were good at that were like Randy and Luke Rayleigh. That was kind of the last two guys. Yeah. And then Josh Lowe for a season. So I don't know.
How freaky are you feeling, Zach? Because Kyle Schwarber is a free agent.
Oh, who's a free agent? Kyle Schwarber?
How freaky are you feeling?
I love Kyle Schwarber. Personally, I have.
I think he's awesome.
Baseball hat of him somewhere in my house.
He's awesome, but do you want him in right field?
No, but I don't want. I didn't want Morel out there either, and he figured it out.
Right. Sure.
So and can like, I don't know. I don't actually. Does he play the outfield at all? I thought he was just a first baseman.
New Schwarber.
Yeah,
I think he DHs most of the time.
Yeah. Let's just say Aranda, go figure it out. Figure it out right.
Because
go figure it out.
Yeah, right. Let me just check his fielding stats for a second. But I also think we need a starter. Like a Charlie Morton, Zach Littell, like veteran guy.
He plays a little bit in the outfield. He plays a little bit. Not a lot, but he plays a little bit. He's played games in the outfield.
He has played 8 games in the outfield this year.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. It doesn't, like, at least what I can see, it's not like he was awful out there. He was terrible. So, he's not great.
He played 8 games in 2025. He played 5 games in 2024.
I love Kyle that would be fun.
It would be similar to, you know, like putting when we acquired Nelson Cruz, it'd be similar to like
putting him out there.
Yeah, which you like theoretically could do, but
yeah, but I mean I guess then, you know, because I think the only problem with Schwarber is if he didn't work out in the outfield, then he kind of feeds into the bigger, like, not a problem, but the reality that we have too many corner infielders.
Yeah.
And not enough places to play him. And then when you go to the minors too, then you got like Trey Morgan and Xavier Isaac. So it's even less places to put corner infielders if you bring in a guy like him. I don't know. Because I think that's at the end of the day, and I think this is definitely a big topic, I think, for us in the offseason, which is fast approaching and maybe faster than we'd like for the Rays. Since it doesn't, you know, especially if we don't have any playoff games to cover, we'll have lots of time to talk about it in the offseason. But I mean, I think that's going to be, you know, that's the clear hole. Catcher, like, I'm not even worried about catcher as far as offense. Like, it is, like, I'm just never going to be worried about it. Like, it doesn't seem like the Rays are, so I'm just going to choose to not worry about it and just cover my eyes whenever our catcher steps up.
I'm just
not going to worry about it. I just have to keep pretending that I didn't see the Travis d'Arnaud Rays and just keep moving on. Because, man, that was fun. And the Mike Cimino Rays. Yeah. Because they really haven't had any sort of meaningful offensive presence since those two guys left.
We just want a really good, really, like, someone who's not, Alec, like, slightly better than Alex Jackson in terms of,
like, what offense. They can do offensively. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then... but you know what, Nick Fortes, I've been completely fine with how he's done.
He's been fine. I'm good if Nick Fortes is C1 next year. It's whatever. Yeah. Because again, I think the rest of the guys around him need to be, you know, doing what they're doing. And something else to throw into kind of this mix of, you know, what the next season is going to look like. We should mention Ha-Seong Kim was placed on waivers by the Rays earlier this week and claimed by the Braves. So he is no longer a part of the Rays organization. Salute to him for the like 10 games he played with us.
No, not salute to him, because he immediately was like, oh, I'm a Brave now. I'm just going to start playing well.
Well, but no, but he did it against the Mariners. So we still like him.
Oh, okay. Salute that.
we still like him. We still like him. He still had the Rays cap on somewhere. But yeah, so that's – so it, and again, that leads into sort of the – how strongly we've talked about Carson, because it's clear the Rays are going to be putting him, you know, shortstop one going forward.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Which is really exciting. And while Taylor Walls is out, he'll get to go back into the backup role, which will help the team, I think.
Yes. That's where he should be. No offense backup. To him, but that's where he should be as a defensive replacement.
And it's been too long of him having to be shortstop one.
Yeah.
I think we should, I just think we should also get a starting pitcher just to eat some innings, but we got a lot to do, I think, to turn from being mid into being good. Because like, apart from Shane, this team hasn't really been that bitten from injuries, I guess Ha-Seong Kim as well.
Yeah. Well, honestly, and again, like it's, you know, it's not all one guy, but like, I do wonder how differently the last month would have gone if Aranda wasn't hurt. Yeah. I think because again, you know, whenever you lose an important bat, it's not just that they're not providing their own offense. It's how they affect the other guys around them. And not having him, I think, has hurt more than, we even realize, because his presence in the lineup is also just not there from a lineup protection standpoint for other guys on the team. And you know, in you know, there's several games that we've played, you know, even just in the Cleveland series where it was close game, those the last two come to mind. Man, it would have been nice to have a guy like him to pull off the bench or to have been starting. To then maybe if he's starting someone else with some power, you can bring him off the bench. Or instead, you know, we're talking about Bob Seymour or, you know, Christian Gray is coming off the bench as opposed to having Ronda on the bench against a lefty, maybe. Lau is on the bench, and then you can bring him in off the bench for an important moment where you just didn't have that option because he's not there. So I do think, you know, we may be underselling how much not having Aranda has hurt. We haven't really heard much about him.
If he's going to come back this year.
Doesn't seem super like, I wonder if the Rays, you know, make the playoffs, we start to, or, you know, it gets close to them. They get to the last week or so and they're really close. If we start to hear, hey, he could be back for the last week or the playoffs or something, but we haven't really heard much since he's been on the IL. So not super optimistic for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame because, like you said, the lineup's feeling like you've got Junior Yandy Lau carrying the entire lineup at the moment, it feels like. Yeah. And if those three guys can't come up with stuff, then we're just kind of out, basically. And Junior's trying his darn best. Junior's really trying to put the team on his back, which is crazy.
He really is.
22. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, at some level, you know, if you have three all-star caliber players, they should be able to put the team on their back a little bit and at least get you to the playoffs, I would think. Frankly, in the last two games of the Cleveland series, they didn't really do much. And that's kind of unfortunate. Other than, you know, Brandon Lau had a double in today's game with nobody on that could have turned into runs that didn't. Had a little disappointing from those guys. And again, it's a tiny sample size, but a little disappointing. And I think that's kind of, but at the end of the day, you got to win those games. And when you look back, you know, if we look back at the end of this year and we're like two games out to end the season, it's going to be so easy to look at games like this and say, well, that's why we're not in the playoffs anymore, or we're not in the playoffs. And that's frustrating. As a Rays fan who, you know, we got used to success that they spoiled us for a couple years. And now we just feel, I think there's a big level of frustration from all Rays fans of like, what are we like, why can't we get over the hump? Why can't we sustain success and get back to the playoffs? It's going to be, if we miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, that's just going to be really frustrating.
Super frustrating. And it felt like both, well, 2024, who knows, but this year it felt like we were a team that should have been good enough to do it.
Yeah, it felt like if we, because again, you know, if we just played 500 ball in like July, we're in the playoffs,
right? Yeah, that's all it took. All it took was for us to not be a disaster class through July in the first couple weeks of August.
Just couldn't. Yeah. And so season's not over, but there's a lot of, regrets, I think right now, a lot of frustration right now. But let us know if you're out there listening and we appreciate all of you who've stuck with us and are listening. We appreciate all of you. If you are enjoying the show, it's kind of a downer. So if you're just suffering with us,
I got a way to cheer us up.
Okay.
I got a way to cheer us up.
Okay.
Because I'm assuming, I know you're not gonna take much solace from this. I've had the Bucks game on another screen, and it was really back and forth in the fourth quarter, and the Falcons took the lead with like 2 minutes to go. The Bucks then scored a touchdown. It was then 23-20 because they failed to convert the extra point. And the Falcons charged down the field. And just now they had to take a 44-yard field goal attempt down 23-20. And it was just wide. The Bucks start the season. The Bucks season starts 1-0 as they beat the Falcons 23-20. So there you go. The Bucks chat is going crazy, as our sound producer.
That's good. And I am super happy for them. My misery never ends because the Patriots lost to the Raiders. But I'm really happy for all the Bucks fans out there. And if you are happy about that and you want to show support for our cross-platform brethren in the RBLR Bucks. Subscribe to RBLR Sports on YouTube so you can hear them break down that game, which they will do sometime in a couple days. You're definitely going to want to hear that. And if you have enjoyed our show, go ahead and follow RBLR Rays. We're going to keep covering this team no matter what. I'm posting daily updates on the team, how many games we have left to lose to make it to the postseason realistically, how many games we have left to win, my thoughts on the games. And we're going to keep breaking this team down and keep supporting them, because regardless of how the team does or how dire it gets, we're Rays fans, and we are not fair weather fans. If you are a Rays fan, you are anything but a fair weather fan, because we have seen much worse days than this.
100%. And knowing the Rays and how they've been, they'll do just enough to go, there's still a chance over the next week. They'll not storm back into the race, but they'll not like crash out of it.
They'll be right there. The Mariners will lose a series, the Rays will win one, and you'll just be like,
We're four games out of the wild card now. Watch us be 2.5 next time we talk to you.
That's the prediction from Pat Davenport. That's the prediction.
And you know what? 2.5 with 2 weeks to go, you go, ooh, maybe.
Maybe.
A lot impossible. Can change in a week, but we got to go beat the Cubs and White Sox.
We do. All right. It's been a kind of a wild show. It's a lot to talk about, a lot over just this last week of Rays baseball. But at the end of the day, we're still going to be Rays fans. We're still going to support this team kind of no matter what. That's kind of, I think, what being a Rays fan is all about. Cause we went through so much adversity to start this franchise, and we're never going to give up on this team. I'm never going to give up. It's always going to be Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.